Hi, I'm Mark Woods, back with another Page One podcast with Andrew Pantazzi talking about a story you had in Sunday's paper, I believe, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it was in Sunday's paper.
Okay. Very interesting. You took, some types of statistical stories aren't very exciting, but you took this and made it kind of interesting and wove in some of the political backdrop. And so I guess tell people a little bit what the story is about.
Yeah, so the FBI requires uniform crime reporting from law enforcement agencies. Here in Florida, FDLE takes that data and they kind of manage it and they release it and they give a semi-annual report that tracks the first 6 months of the year. Since in Jacksonville, the mayor takes office July 1, we're able to look at those, you know, half years and put them together. This is the first time we now have 3 years worth of data from Lenny Curry. At this point in 2014, when Lenny Curry was running for mayor, he was making crime the central issue of his campaign, hammering former Mayor Alvin Brown for what Lenny Curry said was skyrocketing violence. For a number of reasons, Lenny Curry was misleading and using statistics in a very intentionally false manner. He was comparing an old definition of rape to a new definition of rape, using 2010 as a starting point, even though Alvin Brown took office in 2011. Was using a number of different ways to make crime look worse than it was. In actuality, that was one of the times when the murder rate and the violence rate were at their lowest in Jacksonville's recent history. But because he said this, I wanted to just take a look and see where does this match up for Lenny Curry. Just to give a couple of the quotes he said on the campaign trail back in 2014 and 2015, he said, we should all be angry. We should all be upset. We should all be mourning. Our violent crime has now spiked over the last 3 years. The murder rate is now back up. And to be clear, there was an increase at times in the murder rate. It's not a stable rate, but as an average for the 4 years that Alvin Brown was in office, the murder rate and the violent crime rate was significantly down from Mayor John Payton. Again, that's not to say Alvin Brown was responsible for it, but those were the facts. And Lenny right. Curry was saying at the time that that was very bad. Now the murder rate is back up. It's back up to the same average rate it was at under Mayor Payton. And the violent crime rate is also slightly up from Alvin Brown's administration. This is despite the fact that after he was elected, one of the things that Curry said was, this will be a safe city again for every family, every person, every kid, every neighborhood will know that we care about them.
And so, yes, and what actions did he take when he became mayor that were going to, in theory, change this?
Yeah, so the big campaign promise he made related to public safety was increasing the number of police officers, which he did. He has increased the sheriff's office budget very significantly. When Mayor Brown was mayor, the sheriff's office was about 25% of the city budget. It's now, I think it's
36.
Yeah, 36%. That's despite pension costs declining. So also a larger share of that budget is actually going toward personnel rather than the pension costs, since one of the mayor's key initiatives was pushing off pension payments into the future. So we're spending more on the sheriff's office. What we see with that is a larger share of the arrests the sheriff's office are making are related to drug crimes. So there's a question about whether more officers automatically means a lower crime rate. We haven't seen it yet. You could argue that maybe you have to wait longer into the future to find out. However, again, I think what's key here is to use the standard that Lenny Curry used when he was campaigning, which was he said 3 years is enough time to prove that your plan is working. And if it's not working yet, then voters should vote you out. At this point in, Lenny Curry's plans have not yet worked to reduce crime. In fact, crime has gone up, at least violent crime.
Well, and the other thing I found interesting was that you comparing it to the rest of the state, and you know, you had in there since the last election, county has been moving away from the rest of the state. And you wrote, as the rest of the state grows safer, DeVol's trends are in the opposite direction, which sometimes it seems like we have nationwide or statewide crime will go one direction. And then everywhere in America, you know, leaders are saying, look what I did. And yet, guess what? It's down everywhere in America. So I think this is what, to me, jumps out that as troubling, that, you know, the whole state is going one way and we are not.
Yeah, and that's a great point, because the whole nation is getting safer. We are safer now than we have been in the last 50 years across the country. Just about every state is near all-time lows, regardless of where you are. Florida is one of those states. While our crime hasn't fallen as much as it has in, say, New York or some other states, our crime is still at a 50-year low in Florida. And the reason I say 50 years is just because we have 50 years worth of data. It may be even longer than that. But we are at a 50-year low in Florida. But in Duval, that's not the case. We are seeing a rise in violent crime, even as the rest of the state sees violent crime dropping by large percents each year. The murder rate did slightly increase in Florida as a whole. It went up by about 2%. But here, it went up much higher than that. I forget what it was, something like 6%.
I think it was 5.7 or something, I think.
Yeah.
It jumped out at me, yeah. Yeah.
And this is happening. One thing I usually would caution with statistics is something called base rates. So if you take New York City, for example, New York City has extremely low murder rates right now. In fact, for the first time ever, New York City was safer than London, for the first time in American history. Their murder rates are extraordinarily low. So if they have just a couple more murders in 1 year compared to the last year, you could argue murder rate increase is higher than ever on a percent basis. Mm-hmm. Yet for us, what I'm saying is ours is higher, and yet we continue to have percents that are higher, which is what I mean by we're getting away from the pack. Mm-hmm. Everyone else is getting lower. And if there were a blip on the radar where one of those counties went up sharply 1 year, Orange County had that when they had the Pulse shooting, then you could understand, well, they already had a low base rate, so the percent increase is going to be significant. But for us, we're already high, which makes this even more bizarre. In fact, the only time recently where a county came close to us on murder rate was when Orange County had the Pulse shooting, in which, what was it, 49 people were murdered in one incident. So it takes a Pulse shooting to make any other county like Jacksonville. One way I thought of it is that it's as if we are having a Pulse shooting every single year in Duval County.
Hmm. And you used cited Parkland comparing Broward County and how...
That wasn't even enough. In Broward County, they had a mass shooting in a six-month period. So we're not even looking at a full year. Mm-hmm. So each murder counts double for that time period. Yet even in that six-month period, our murder rate is double Broward County's when they had a mass murder.
Crime became, you know, back to politics, became a part of the gubernatorial campaign with Ron DeSantis pointing to the crime rate of Tallahassee as a reason not to elect Tallahassee Mayor Andrew Gillum as governor. What do these stats show about Tallahassee?
Leon County had a remarkable decline in crime in the last year, unlike Duval County. Leon County, if you'll give me a second, I can pull up what their change was. Yeah, so in Leon County, it's hard to break down the crime to specific cities because these are law enforcement agencies that report the crime. So Leon County Sheriff's Office might report a crime that occurs in Tallahassee, and that doesn't mean the Tallahassee Police Department crime statistics are all the crimes that occur there. So it's easier to do by county than by city.
Right.
But in Leon County as a whole, the violent crime rate fell by 20% in a single year, which is unbelievable. It's so remarkable that the violent crime fell that fast. But already murder rate was significantly lower in Leon County. In fact, in Duval County, you are three times as likely to get murdered than you are in Leon County. Yet Leon County was still the same spot where Ron DeSantis was continually campaigning There were mottos that I saw some police using, calling Andrew Gillum, Andrew Killum, to refer to him. All the while, Jacksonville Sheriff Mike Williams was one of the first major endorsements that Ron DeSantis got. Early in the primary, when a lot of people were endorsing Ron DeSantis' challenger, Adam Putnam, Mike Williams was supporting him. He was one of the few police to support him during the primary. And even on a day where there was a mass shooting in Jacksonville right next to the Jaguars football game, Mike Williams was at a campaign event with Ron DeSantis, not in Jacksonville. So he was vigorously supporting him. And I think that vigorous support was also a tacit endorsement that said Leon County is an unlivable, inhospitable place because crime is too high. Yet here in Duval County, our crime is higher than in Leon County, and our murder rate is triple that of Leon County's.
And even the president jumped in and tweeted tweeted about that, about Tallahassee. And I guess it's hard to know for sure how much that was a piece of the gubernatorial vote, but I think you did cite some polls going back to the mayoral race, the last mayoral race, where that was an issue that was a piece of the election. Correct?
In the city race last election in 2015, UNF polled people on what do you think is the most important problem facing Jacksonville today. The number one issue that voters overall cited was crime. And this was before the first election. In Jacksonville, we have two elections, a first election and then a runoff. This was before the first election when there were three candidates. And Mayor Curry's voters, more than the other two candidates, they were the most likely to say crime. In fact, almost half of Mayor Curry's supporters cited crime as the most important issue facing Jacksonville today. You can compare that. Alvin Brown, there was also a large number. It was about 30%. And then Bill Bishop, the third candidate, his supporters didn't list crime pretty much at all. They were much more likely to cite pension or budget or other issues. So I think what that shows is Lenny Curry's messaging worked. The people who supported Lenny Curry were more likely to think that Jacksonville had a crime problem than people who did not support Lenny Curry.
And what does it mean for this coming election next spring? You talk to people about that too.
I think absolutely nothing. Right now, unless there is a challenger who runs against Lenny Curry, I have a hard time seeing him fail, because it's hard to lose to no one. And right now, no one is running against him. You've got your slew of no-name candidates who always file. You know, people who are running as no party affiliate or as a third party candidate. But right now, there is no serious challenger running against Lenny Curry. And if they are planning to mount a last minute campaign, I think that will fail. Lenny Curry was already talking to people in January of 2014. The election was in March of 2015. Mm-hmm. So he officially announced halfway through the year. It was May or June. And he was campaigning vigorously. He already had campaign ads up by Thanksgiving in November. Mm-hmm. We're in December now, and there's no one around, and Lenny Curry has amassed a lot of money in his campaign. I don't think anyone is going to seriously challenge him. One guy has announced he's running against the sheriff, Tony Cummings, a former officer. He ran as well in 2015, where he got, I think, 4% of the vote. It was a large field of candidates, but he came in last. I don't think, unless he manages to raise a lot of money and raise his name recognition, I don't think he's a serious challenger to Mike Williams either. So right now, both of them look ready to coast to re-election.
I've also found it interesting how the kind of the description or the messaging about some of the violent crime and murders has changed from 4 years ago. Whereas, you know, then it was kind of, yes, we have this dire issue. You read some of the quotes. And now they're certainly expressing concern and saying we need to do something. But at the same time, also saying this is a small group of people in some parts of town. And these are not, this does not mean this is an unsafe city, which feels different to me than the message that was being sent 4 years ago.
Yeah, now they are saying the message is almost twofold. It's yes, we have a murder problem, but don't worry, because the only people getting murdered are people who are also committing murders, as if to diminish the importance of the murders that are occurring. And it's only the small group of people who are violent in certain neighborhoods, which to me sounds like saying, don't worry if you live in Mandarin, don't worry if you live at the beaches. This is isolated to certain neighborhoods, which is certainly true, but it sounds to me more like an indictment of public officials than anything, because you're not saying this is a problem with domestic violence. You're not saying this is a problem where no one could have predicted this. You are saying in neighborhoods where there is poverty, in neighborhoods where there are not strong social infrastructure set up, in those neighborhoods, people are more violent, as if that's supposed to cleanse you of any responsibility as a public official. And I don't understand that rationale, if that is the rationale that they are using. But yeah, they are certainly now trying to make it sound like, while the murder rate is a bad problem, don't worry, because it's isolated to just a small percent of people. One line that Sheriff Williams uses often is, this is only 1% of the population. In a city of 900,000 people, that's 9,000 people. That's a lot of people, right, if it's 1% of the population that's doing this. But still, even if you take them at their word that this is a small group of people, the question is, are you deploying resources as effectively as you can? I looked at how the sheriff's office was using some of its resources. And what you see is, despite getting more money than ever in history, despite having more technology than ever, despite all of these advances in crime solving, their clearance rate is lower. Their clearance rate, which is...
A clearance rate
is, you get an offense that gets called in. So say you have a burglary at your house and you call the police. They count that as an offense. Now, say they make an arrest for a burglary, they count that as an arrest. If you look at the arrests versus the offenses, they are significantly low. And this actually benefits the clearance rate, because you can have more than 100%. If you have tons of offenses every year, and then one year you go gangbusters and you manage to arrest every past murder, and so you could have 1,000 murder arrests in one year and only 100 murders called in, and then you've got 1,000% clearance rate. They're not at 1,000%. Their total clearance rate is more like 17%. They are reducing the number of cases that they're able to clear by arrest. They can also clear a case if they rule that something is justified. For example, with a murder, that this wasn't a murder, it was a homicide. They can clear it if the suspect dies. They can clear it. I'm trying to think what else. There's one or two other ways that they can also clear in an offense, and yet their clearance rates are declining. The sheriff's office said, well, you got to wait until the end of the year when we release our statistics, and you'll see that it's not as bad as it looks. But year over year, quarter over quarter, their clearance rates are declining despite getting more money. Which leads me to wonder, is there maybe a mission creep or something that's creeping up? Because you see that the portion of their arrests that are related to drugs are rising. Now, the total drug arrests aren't necessarily rising, but they're spending, it seems, more of their resources on what you might think of as discretionary arrests. That includes drug arrests. That includes, liquor violations or prostitution arrests, kind of those vice sex arrests, like for public exposure, things like that, are becoming a larger share of their total arrests. In fact, if you took every violent crime arrest they made during the 6 month period, that wouldn't even reach half of the drug arrests that they made.
And I guess we should say, you, if I remember correctly reading it, you reached out to both the mayor's office and sheriff's office hoping to have them talk about this.
I wanted to ask them, because no one in this city wants there to be violence. No one in this city wants the current state of affairs to stay the same. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to ask the mayor and I wanted to ask the sheriff, what do you think the city needs to do to improve its state? Both the sheriff and the mayor did not grant me an interview. Sheriff Williams said he would try his best to talk to me this week. I told him, you know, the data came out and we need to respond to the data right away, but I'm still willing to talk to him this week. The mayor's office, I think, probably threw out the email when they got it, because they responded by saying, we will check on this for you, and that was it. I didn't hear anything more from him. But no one thinks that Mayor Curry or Sheriff Williams is happy with these numbers. I'm sure that they are as livid as anyone. But we still have to ask them the question of, what are you doing about it? What should change? They've both talked about several programs. The city has a violence reduction initiative in place, which is gang members who are out on probation, as part of their probation, have to come to these regular meetings. They're called call outs, where they're supposed to meet with prosecutors and police, and they're told there's a stick and there's a carrot. If you continue the life you're living, we're going to come after you, and we're going to assign police to follow you wherever you are, and we will arrest you for anything you do and put you in jail. Or you can go meet with Operation New Hope, meet with some nonprofits, and we can try to get you a job and get you settled. That's one model that they've tried. I don't think that model has had any immediate success. There's another model they've explored interesting called the Cure Violence model, which is a less policing focus. Mm-hmm. It's instead more focused on social work. The idea is you hire people. You're literally paying them money to be violence, to do violence intervention. They're supposed to be in the community trying to get people out of gangs, out of these social groups, and trying to stop people from committing violence. Instead of it being police, it's more hiring people within the community. They have said they want to do an evaluation. I think it's a $7,500 or something like that, very low cost evaluation of the program. I just wonder, is that conveniently timed before an election, where they won't have to spend any money on it, but they can say they're looking into a new program? Because programs like that are controversial. You go to certain parts of the city and you say, what we want to do is we want to take people who've committed violence and give them money to not commit violence anymore. Mm-hmm. Some people will be offended at that concept. Other people will say it's worked in other communities. It's helped to reduce crime in other cities. Let's try it. We're desperate for anything. But will that work? Will we properly fund it? You know, that it takes a lot of money and it takes a serious commitment to actually do something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to campaign by saying, I hired 147 or 187 police officers. It's harder to campaign by saying, I hired social workers who you may not see yet whether they are making a difference, but give it 4 years or 8 years and the crime will begin to fall.
Right. Well, thanks. I mean, I think it's important. This is one of the things we do as a paper that you're good at, is taking data comes out and you put it in Excel spreadsheets and things and figure it out and distill it down into a story, and then give it that context you did, both historically, statewide, and that's one of the things you and others do well in here. So obviously an issue that is not going to go away anytime soon, so
unfortunately.
Yep. So, go to jacksonville.com and read it, and check the Florida Times Union for Andrew's future stories.
Thank you.
Thank you.